Welcome to Statehouse Blend. I'm Jim McLean, managing editor of KCUR's Kansas News Service, and I'm filling in for Sam Zeff, who's taking a few well-deserved days off. We, of course, have a couple of distinguished guests in the studio, so introduce yourself, please. First you, John.
John Scoobel, senator from District 11. That would encompass Overland Park and Leawood.
Okay, and now Ed?
Ed DeSoigne, executive director, Heavy Constructors Association of Kansas City.
Well, thanks to you both for being here, and so, Matt, roll the open.
This is Statehouse Blend. I'm Sam Zeff. We're using coffee and donuts to help us better understand the historic legislative session underway in Topeka. The issues and the people in the Kansas legislature. Here we go.
Lots of ground for us to cover this morning on transportation, tax, and budget issues. But first, Ed and John, this is the part of the podcast where tradition dictates that you tell us a little bit about, you know, your personal life, your kids, your pets, your grandkids, what have you. John, we'll start with you.
Well, that's a real good question. the grandkids, of course, are very, very important to me. And, of course, now we don't really – we're struggling. We have our youngest is 18, and she just finished her state tournament basketball up with Olathe South. They placed third, and she's going to William Jewell, and so I'll at least get to see her play basketball, hopefully for a couple more years. But the others are all grown. Two stepchildren, Scott, who is a KCK fireman, that's just, I understand, retiring. And our daughter Christine is married to a Olathe police officer, and we have the five grandchildren. Just adopted by a dog about 14 years ago that we just had to put to sleep about a month ago. And so it's not very much fun coming home and not having a dog greet you at the door. We do have a few cats running around, but they're not nearly as important as my dog was.
Well, that's quite a biographical resume for a politician. You've got it all there, police officers and firemen in your family tree. So thanks for sharing that. And Ed, how about you?
Well, my wife Julie and I have three daughters, and those three daughters have given us five granddaughters.
Wow!
So I am completely surrounded by the opposite sex. So I have to watch my step and everything I do or say.
At least when you're at home.
Everywhere.
Oh, okay.
I've been with the Heavy Constructors Association now for 27 years, 20 as its director. Prior to that, I have about 14, maybe closing in on 15 years of state service, a good part of that with the Kansas Department of Transportation. And so, pleasure to be here today,
Jim. Yeah, and it's great to have you. In fact, I was going to ask you about that, Ed, because we invited you here this morning really because of that extensive background in transportation and the Heavy Constructors Association. I'm sure most people in, know what that is, but you're known in the transportation game as the heavies. But you do what you, that association, you have members that do both, you know, big construction projects in terms of building an infrastructure, but also highway programs, right?
Absolutely. From small to super large. And this is going to sound like a commercial, and if it does, I apologize.
Okay.
But our members, we're a little over 65 years old. And our members,
the members are, or the association,
the association.
Okay. But let's focus in on the Kansas issues here. We're talking about T-Works, which was a big transportation program passed in 2010, was it? A 10-year program.
That's correct.
$8.2 billion to start with, but it's not $8.2 billion anymore, is it? I mean, you can. There's some discrepancy here, but in recent years, when the state's budget problems, somewhere around $2.5 billion to maybe a little bit more than $3 billion has been diverted from the program just to shore up the state general fund. Is that your understanding?
The number I keep hearing is $2.7 billion, which, incidentally, I'm looking at the press release that was issued in May of 2010. By Transportation Secretary Deb Miller concerning passage of that program. And the $8.2 billion T-Works program includes $2.7 billion in new revenues. So that is gone.
So essentially, the new revenue portion of it is gone. And so let's dig into that a little bit. We know that the state has had a series of budget problems over the last several years, and the administration and the legislature has had to resort to kind of emergency techniques and so forth to shore up the budget, to fill budget gaps in the budget and so forth. And much of that money has come from the quote-unquote Bank of KDOT. So what has been the result of all that? You take all that money out of the program, projects have been canceled. Just give us an overview, Ed, if you could, of what this program is now able to do versus what it was planned to do.
Jim, I think, you know, what KDOT has put out speaks for itself. We're looking at about 40-some million dollars in anticipated maintenance work coming in this fiscal year, 25 to 30-some planned projects have been delayed indefinitely.
Which means canceled, maybe?
Quite possibly. Mm-hmm. So that $2.7 billion amounts to almost a third of the entire $8.2 billion in the 2010 program. So I know that part of the messaging that's come out over the years is this money can be taken. There won't be any repercussions in terms of delivering T-Works. But I think the delays in projects and the greatly reduced maintenance funding that's being talked about really indicates what the true picture is.
Yeah, and I want to get to that maintenance issue here in a minute. But, John, I want to bring you into the conversation. As a new legislator, you campaigned, as did many, about a third of the legislature are new folks, many of whom campaigned on, quote-unquote, fixing the budget mess in Topeka, the revenue problems, the budget problems, the tax issues, the school finance issues, et cetera. So what is your posture coming into the legislature as a new member on this issue of transportation at KDOT? Because you are now a member of the Senate Transportation Committee.
Yes, I also work in the industry, so that's a very good question. But I still sit on the Overland Park City Council, and we understand road problems. We've got roads in our city that are 50 years old now that definitely need to be replaced. And so we have doubled the amount of mileage that we are doing, as contrary to what the state's done, instead of doubling the amount of maintenance and doubling the amount of care that we're doing to our roads and building new roads, we have continued to slice away at that money to use it to keep the electricity on in the Capitol. And that's not what those dollars are intended for. And so we will get this balance, this budget balance, one way or another. 2017, I think that we can get out of the year this year. 2018 looks rather glim. And then I think that if we can get to 2019 without any serious repercussions, we can start to see some daylight. But this still includes the taking of the KDOT funding.
Right.
And until we can get past some of this and get a revenue stream that will support the state, I think that we're going to continue to see that. But My thrust will be to get a structurally balanced budget that will allow us to do the things that we promised the people of Kansas that we were going to do.
Yeah, and let's get at that because this issue of transportation funding, the job at hand, as you indicated, the Senate passed a bill just last week to deal with the current fiscal year, the budget year that we're now in. We were facing at the start of the year about a $350 million projected deficit. You've delayed a payment to the state retirement system, and you've also borrowed against the state investment fund just last week. And you look like you may have balanced this year's budget without any budget cuts. Is that correct?
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. And so then you still have next year's budget deficit to deal with, which is approximately $500 million, right?
Yes.
And so the governor's budget document and the budget plans that are working their way through the legislature still anticipate taking money from KDOT in both this fiscal year and next fiscal year, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you recall just on?
You know, it will be as much as they can take, which will be all. And what we have to do is we have to look at where we're at with these dollars and to say that, you know, We either get a revenue stream that will support the state or we will continue this spiral. I don't know if Ed's seen this, but it was rather startling to me, but I got an email. And apparently in Omaha, they are not resurfacing streets. They are not doing any maintenance on their streets, and instead they're coming in and actually grinding the asphalt up and turning the streets in back into gravel streets. Well, I don't think that that's what the people in Kansas really want us to do.
Yeah, how, you know, you talk to your members all the time. How close are we to desperation in this state when it comes to just the revenue stream drying up?
Well, there's different levels to the desperation, Jim. if you're a contractor who has a number of employees on the payroll, the desperation manifests itself in terms of available work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you start doing is looking to see where that work is occurring. And right now, for the first time in many years, we've got members looking at work in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa, which is something we really don't like. I think in terms of defining desperation in terms of the effect on the actual physical condition
right,
of streets
right.
and bridges, roads and bridges, we're at the beginning stage. And Senator Scoble is well aware that, I mean, when you start deferring maintenance on roads, you don't, I mean, the deterioration can begin to occur rather quickly, much quicker than you would expect. So there's an issue there. I mean, the citizens of the state of Kansas have invested billions of dollars in its public roads. It's an asset. It's an asset of the state. And the question is, how do you protect that asset? Now, the governor has indicated that he is supportive of T-Works, that he wants to see T-Works through to the end. So we hope that he is still committed to that goal. And we think that what Senator Scoble and a number of the senators and state representatives are doing by trying to stabilize state finances mm-hmm. on a long-term basis and getting out of this annual cycle of financial gimmicks and gains to
right.
get from one fiscal year to the next is the best long-term strategy that you can have, both for the state and for the state's transportation network.
Yeah, but let me ask you, I want to go back a little bit to the issue of maintenance with you both, because one of the things the administration has done recently under Secretaries Mike King and Richard Carlson, the Secretary of Transportation at the moment, they've put out these reports that say, listen, hey, okay, yeah, we've taken some money from KDOT. That's true. We've had to do it. Didn't want to do it, but had to. But our roads are still in great shape, and people don't realize that. I think T-Works is, what, the third multi-year program in a row for Kansas. In other words, we have this history
Correct.
In Kansas of investing over a long, over 30 years in the state highway system, and those investments had made the Kansas system really one of the best in the country. And so the administration is now saying it still is. But I think the point I'm hearing from you, but also several others around the State House, is that can be a very fleeting thing. 30 years of investment can be lost more quickly than people realize. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And it's a situation, Jim, that we're running, we're seeing here in Kansas City, Missouri, on a day-to-day basis. I mean, Kansas City, Missouri has got a problem with its public infrastructure. It is not a problem that occurred overnight. It's been ongoing. Because adequate funds haven't been provided. The last thing you want to see is Kansas get into a similar type of a condition to where it's trying to play catch up and it never really catches up with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that each of those three transportation programs, Jim, and you know because you've worked in the State House for a number of years on those, and Senator Scoble also understands because, as he said, he's in the industry. Each one of those programs was intended to only take a certain bite of that apple. It wasn't intended to address every transportation need facing mm-hmm. the state. And so each one built
on
the
other.
Mm-hmm. And what's happening now, we're beginning to lose a little bit of that momentum. And it's kind of a dangerous position for us to be in. It's new ground we haven't been in for some time.
We're on the precipice, in other words. But and the way I have heard the talk in the State House, job one is getting the budget writ large stabilized. The revenue situation, some people believe it's the revenue problems we've had are attributable to the income tax cuts, and you know that issue is still to be debated this session, is it not, Senator Scoble, in terms of on a moving forward basis, you've stabilized the budget for this year. But as Ed said, you know, arriving at what we call a structural fix to the budget problems we've had will require a lot more heavy lifting in the next fiscal year and the one beyond that. So what are you all thinking about in terms of stabilizing that situation?
Well, my plan, and it was all along as I campaigned, and you know, in the course of the campaign, we knocked on about 6,000 doors, and it went from schools to the budget. And most of the people that we talked with, their number one concern was fixing this mess, and that's the way that they called it, and it is a mess. We, and I feel, and this is just me personally, we need to go back to the 12 tax plan that we had before we got ourselves into this mess. And if we could do that, again, I've not talked with anyone in the State House as to how long this is going to take us to recover, but if we could go back to a reasonable tax plan, not a tax plan that we have never seen before, but something that we were paying in 2012, we could stabilize this budget, start paying our bills on time without taking money from other departments, sweeping everything we can get our hands on, borrowing more money so we can go ahead and carry ourselves into the next year. I think that we could stabilize our government and we would have enough revenue to do the things that we need. And it just, it doesn't stop at roads. We have employees at the state that have not had pay increases for 10 years. That's not right.
Yeah, well, how do you keep good people in the state workforce if you're not giving them raises over the last decade?
And you have seen
that. I mean, I'm talking about the engineers at KDOT. I know that's been a problem for years. The folks at the Kansas Department of Health and Environment who have to oversee that very, very complicated privatized Medicaid program. I mean, you really need some good, competent people in the state workforce if you're going to run things.
And we really have good employees, but we're not keeping them. We've seen retirements. We have seen people that have gone, especially in the KDOT, leaving to go into private industry. And when you lose that institutional knowledge and that history, then you have real problems because these people, after 10 or 15 years, and some with more experience, they take all of that history with them. They don't leave it at their desk. And mm-hmm. So that is an issue, and it's not just at KDOT. It's all of our departments. Those are the people that we plan on to run the state, and our job is to see that they have enough money to get that done.
That's probably worth an entirely separate conversation. But if I heard you correctly, the so-called LLC exemption, which has been very controversial, the tax break given to more than 300,000 certain types of businesses and farmers in the state where they got a total tax exemption, I think it's pretty clear that a majority of lawmakers want to repeal that. I'm not sure if everybody wants to go back to the tax structure prior to the 2012 tax cuts, but clearly there are a lot of legislators who were interested in adjusting those rates and stabilizing the revenue situation. But relative to transportation, Ed and Senator Scoobel both, we're talking about some sort of a bridging mechanism. I mean, there have been two bills introduced recently in the legislature to raise the gas tax, one by 5 cents a gallon, one by 11 cents a gallon. And there's also talk in the House Appropriations Committee, there's a proviso that's moving forward there that would give KDOT more bonding authority temporarily to allow them to generate enough money to do maintenance until the revenue situation is stabilized. Do I have that correct, Ed? I mean, is that what's being talked about in terms of just stabilizing things in the meantime for KDOT?
It is. And there's a number of issues, I think, that are on the table for consideration that should be discussed and aired. And as you mentioned, the motor fuels tax is one. Additional bonding is another one. We're a member of Economic Lifelines. We were one of the founding members. We had a very vigorous debate on these issues recently, and the Economic Lifelines Board of Directors opted to attempt to pursue a position with the legislature of taking a look at additional bonding as a short-term bridge, mm-hmm. Providing needed maintenance funds to KDOT so that work can continue
right.
Unabated. The thing with the motor fuels tax is, first of all, it just, in our opinion, it just continues to widen the spread between Kansas and Missouri, it would the Senate proposal of 5 cents would put the gasoline tax at 29 cents from the current 24 cents. Missouri's at 17. Obviously, we have a different view because we're here in the metro area, with sharing a border with Missouri, than we would have perhaps if we were in Salina or Hutchinson.
Right.
But we think the bonding proposal may be a more painless way to get there in the short term. Mm-hmm. That we'd like to see that debated and considered.
So what I'm hearing is that you're looking for a roughly additional bonding authority of about $400 million that would allow then KDOT to do just the maintenance work. It's not going to put any of those big modernization projects back on the bid list, but it would allow KDOT to do the basic maintenance work over the next couple of years?
Probably heavy maintenance. You get into a situation on bonds where the bonding companies take a dim view of issuing bonds for short-term
just regular stuff,
type
right.
of efforts, mm-hmm. yes. So there's some swapping out of funding that may occur within the agency's
sure.
budget.
KDOT would use other money to do the maintenance, and they would then supplant the
exactly.
The bigger projects with the bonding yes. the bonding money. Senator Scoobel, has this talk risen to the level of an active discussion in the State House right now in terms of either the gas tax or the bonding issue?
I know that the gas tax has been submitted, I believe.
Yeah, there was a hearing the other day on that.
Yeah, and I've not seen that yet. And it's my understanding that the House has worked the $400 million that mm-hmm. Ed's talking about. But again, I've not seen either of those.
Do you have a position on that, on either one? Do you have a preference either way? Or
You know, until I see the bills, I really can't. Mm-hmm. I won't comment on that. I do think that there is a need for the maintenance. Somehow, some way, we have to take care of the infrastructure that we have. It's too valuable to allow it to just to go back to gravel.
Do you think there's a need, though, for some sort of a bridging mechanism, or you mean, in other words, KDOT really can't wait to start stabilizing its situation until the entire budget situation is stabilized? So there's some need to do something in the meantime.
Yes, and I don't disagree with that, but I'm always nervous when the funds aren't dedicated and somebody else can get their hands on that money.
Well, for real State House insiders, that brings up a whole other topic, because I think why some people prefer the gas tax, Ed, is because statutorily it can go nowhere but the highway fund into a revenue sharing fund that goes to cities and counties to also do infrastructure work, a certain percentage of it. On the other hand, as a part of the T-Works program, KDOT was supposed to get a certain percentage of the statewide sales tax was increased. What was it, a quarter of a cent on an annual basis that was supposed to flow into the highway fund? And yet that's really the money that's been taken over the last several years. The idea is if you give the agency additional bonding authority and then make it clear that you would like to use that quarter cent to retire the bonds, that maybe that makes it harder to take or something? Is that one of the selling points of the bonding proposal?
It is. It's never the choices in the State House.
Sure.
The senator will tell you are never easy choices to make. The fact of the matter is, Jim, you're right. I mean, the proponents of the gas tax had that in mind when they put that idea on the table, and that is, it is constitutionally
protected.
You can't
take the money. Right.
Absolutely right. There's no question about it. Couple of things, though. The reason we were able to get sales tax into the 2010 program is because the sales tax tends to reflect growth much, much easier than a gas tax does. A gas tax will be reflected. It's based on consumption.
Right.
So what ends up happening is as people get better gas mileage, the revenue produced by that tax doesn't necessarily grow. It may just flatten out over time. You get an initial spike when you raise the tax, but then it just levels out over time. The idea behind the bonding was to actually get some money quickly into KDOT this coming fiscal year, which starts on July 1, in order to be able to maintain those operations going forward. A gas tax, unless there's some type of an emergency proviso put into the legislation that would make it effective upon say, publication in the Kansas Register would go into effect on July 1 of 2017, and then there would be a certain lag time that would occur before revenue started showing up into the state highway fund.
So you're saying the quickest way to get money to KDOT would be through the bonding mechanism and not the gas tax?
It would, and yet therein lies the peril that Senator Scoble has pointed to, that could it be open to those revenues being diverted just like all of the other revenues have been?
Well, and Senator Scoble and Ed both, I mean, given the fact that it looks like we're going to have to do some sort of a revenue enhancement slash tax increase, whether it be going back to the 2012 income tax rates, which, of course, some people will say is a tax increase because it'll reverse the glide path to zero that the Governor Brownback has put us on in a quest to eliminate the income tax altogether. So you're going to be dealing with that, and there's this move. So it seems to me, what are you hearing? Will there really be enough, any appetite at all to also tack an 11-cent a gallon increase gas tax onto whatever package you're considering for fixing the revenue problem?
You know, again, I would like to see that before I commented on it. But there are lots of needs. There's only a limited amount of funding, and where we'll end up with any kind of an income tax increase, even if we can get one, is anybody's guess. And again, I've found that the word compromise is something that is in my vocabulary, and you don't get everything that you want. But the decisions, I think, have been forced on us. There's no place else for us to get money. We're down to where there's no more borrowing that can go on, and we've increased our debt in this state astronomically in the last 4 or 5 years. We've got our hands into every pot that we can possibly get our hands into, and now the piggy bank's even broke.
Yeah, and so and I think there's been a lot of talk about that as well. And so does that mean that any proposal for additional bonding authority will meet some resistance from people who think that we've already gone too far down that road?
I'm certain that
no
you will.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I think I'm certain that you will hear some of that and see some of that. And again, there's lots of diverse opinions in the State House. And how we get to where we need to get to is always a problem, but we need to get there.
Yeah, and one question I do want to ask you on that front. As Ed mentioned, I've been around the State House for a long time, and the last several years prior to this year, the atmosphere in that place has been pretty grim. People, I mean, just an impossible job to do. Legislators were in between the proverbial rock and a hard place virtually all of the time. But with all these new legislators coming in this year, I do sense a very different attitude around the State House this year. Is there any doubt in your mind that you'll come to some sort of a practical resolution to at least the bulk of these revenue and budget problems?
That would be my hope. And, you know, the thing that's always interesting to me is that like-minded people will tend to gather together. And those of us that realize that we have a real revenue problem, I think we'll band together. And you could see that with the last vote when we were three shy of overriding the governor's veto.
His veto of a previous tax bill that closed the LLC exemption and did some other thing with the rates. He vetoed that bill. Right?
Yes, he did, and we were.
And the House did override him, and you all came within three votes, which to most people, State House observers, was an indication that you could get those at some way. You can get those additional three votes when you really, really have to get them.
Well, I would have really liked to have gotten them then,
I think one of the issues with that bill was we don't have to get too deep into the weeds, but was the retroactivity. In terms of when the tax increases would occur, but I think that, you know, a tweak here and a tweak there, and you get the 27 votes, don't you think?
I would like to think so, but again, you know, I never count votes until people say aye.
Yeah, appropriately cautious. Ed, what are your people telling you as to what's likely to happen relative to these competing proposals for KDOT, the gas tax versus the bonding? Any handicapping of that at this point?
No. I think a lot of us are waiting to see how this all plays out within this kind of broader framework of the this debate on state finances and school finance, expansion of Medicaid,
right,
as we were talking about earlier. I will say our belief is that today there is certainly more of a glimmer of hope with this legislature than there have been recently with past legislatures, that these problems will be addressed. That we see, I think, is key to, you know, indirectly stabilizing the transportation program that, we worked so hard to get.
Yeah, you have immediate needs, but you also have a hope that we can stabilize this thing for the long term so that we don't revisit these problems, right?
Right. And Jim, there's a harsh realization that the legislature is going to need those funds from KDOT for a certain period of time. I mean, I don't think anybody's fooling themselves into thinking that those funds are going to miraculously
stay in the
reappear
conference, right?
in the way of, additional work. But the fact is that, again, as we keep talking about, as if Senator Scoobel and his colleagues are able to stabilize the state finance situation in the long term, that the pressure on the state highway fund begins to diminish.
Mm-hmm. And you think that the highway program and KDOT in particular, and moving forward and maintaining the investment that the state has made over the last three decades, you do get the sense that that is a priority with this legislature?
I believe so. You know, one of the advantages and also a disadvantage of being around for a long time, the disadvantage is people get tired of hearing you say you've been around for a long time. But the advantage is that kind of you're able to see things in a broader perspective. And when we started down this path in 87, actually, under the governorship of Mike Hayden, what KDOT, I mean, the Kansas highway system was in a deplorable condition. It was worse than the Missouri transportation system. In fact, I remember being on staff at KDOT when we would look at Missouri and say, gosh, we wish we had a nice system like they've gotten. And what's occurred over those intervening years is the situation
has reversed,
flipped. Mm-hmm. And now Missouri's transportation network is in dire need of additional funding and work. And Kansas has a good system. And the question moving into the future is, are we going to take the efforts to maintain that system or let it slide into disrepair?
Very good. I think we'll leave that conversation right there. I really appreciate both of you being here this morning. A very enlightening conversation for me. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you connect with our podcasts. If you have the NPR One app, you can connect with us by searching for Statehouse Blend Kansas in Explore and then clicking on subscribe. You folks on Twitter can follow Sam at SamZeff or me at JimMcLeanKS. Statehouse Blend Missouri host Brian Ellison is at PTS Brian. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jim.